brethren, this feast is really going by too fast. That's at least what I think, and probably what all of you think. So yesterday we had part one of this sermonette entitled The Law of Retaliation. Yesterday we covered three passages in the books of Moses that deal with the law of retaliation. That is, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. In those three passages, we read those in Exodus 21, Leviticus 24, and Deuteronomy 19. I will just repeat the conclusion. The law of retaliation is to be taken literally. So it is not talking about financial compensation, but it applies only to premeditated violent acts that cause either death or incurable diseases. We should not try to be more righteous or more loving than God by showing mercy to criminals who commit such heinous crimes. Yesterday I covered, I was only in the Hebrew scriptures, and today we will go to the Greek scriptures. Please, let's see what Christ had to say about the law of retaliation in Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. Matthew 5, 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. I don't know about you, but I have struggled with this verse for many years. This seems to say that you should just allow people to take advantage of you without any resistance. But is that what Jesus Christ means? Should we allow others to have their way and let them walk over us, or should we resist them? Should we turn the other cheek? Christ was referring to certain passages in the Old Testament mentioning an eye for an eye, but which ones? It must be those passages that involve resisting someone. So we can rule out Deuteronomy 19, which deals with false witnesses. So that leaves only two passages we read yesterday, that's Exodus 21 verses 22 to 25, and Leviticus 24 verses 19 and 20. And these are indeed the passages that he is referring to. Let's read Exodus 21 verses 22 to 25 again, because it's more detailed than Leviticus 24. Exodus 21 verse 22. If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. The harm that is mentioned in verses 23 to 25 does not necessarily refer to the injuries of the prematurely born baby mentioned in verse 22, because prematurely born babies don't have teeth, do they? No, this is talking about injuries inflicted by one of the fighting men to the other man, or possibly to one of those who are watching this fight too closely. Notice again that this verse 22 starts with the little word if. If men fight. As I said yesterday, this doesn't mean that it is fine with God that men fight. Rather, he is warning them of the potentially disastrous consequences that can result once they engage in a fight. It could cost them their tooth, their eye, and even their life. So even in the Old Testament, God is trying to dissuade these unconverted people from starting a fight. In Matthew 5, verses 38 and 39, the word resist refers to resistance involving the use of violence, since it is in the context of losing an eye or a tooth. Christ tells us not to fight, even when we are provoked by a humiliating slap in the face. So there is no contradiction with Exodus 21. Jesus is simply instructing us how to avoid the dire consequences of a fight. Now, what does turning the other cheek mean? Let's see how Jesus reacted when he was slapped in the face. Let's turn to John 18. John 18, verses 22 and 23. This is after he was arrested. And when he, that is Jesus, had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why do you strike me?" Let's also turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 to 23. 1 Peter 2, 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." The situation in John 18 is somewhat special because the one slapping him on his face is an officer, not an ordinary citizen. And Jesus was bound, as you can read in John verses 12 and 24. But the principle of turning the other cheek is still applicable, and that's exactly what Jesus did. He did not try to hide his face like this in order to avoid further slapping in his face, because he certainly looked at the officer while he talked to him. He didn't threaten the officer verbally, but he tried to make him reconsider what he just did by asking him questions in order to help him repent from his evil action. Jesus practiced his own teachings, and we must follow his perfect example. When someone slaps us in the face, either literally or by their words, we can't retaliate nor threaten him or her verbally. Instead, we must ask him or her, "Why do you hit me?" Fighting won't resolve anything. Let's try to solve this peacefully. Explain what you have against me. And this course of action is in line with Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. Matthew 5:23. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." So, turning the other cheek doesn't mean that you run away. It means that you don't run away and that you don't hide your face behind your arms or between your knees or whatever in order to avoid further slaps. that you look at him or her, that you talk to him or her, seeking reconciliation. This way you show that you have no fear, that you are not intimidated, that you are not angry, and that you are in total control of your emotions and of the situation. Now, one word of caution. Turning the other cheek applies only when someone hits you with the palm of his hand, like this, not when he boxes with his fist in your face. If that happens, we must protect ourselves, for instance, by running away as fast as we can. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And then also John 10. John the 10th chapter, verse 39. John 10:39. Therefore they sought again to seize him, to seize Christ that is, but he escaped out of their hand. Jesus had to run for his life on numerous occasions. He never used violence against his enemies and rebuked Peter when he cut off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. Let's read about this incident in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 52. Jesus said to him, to Peter, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." This is a prophecy. All who take the sword will perish by the sword. Maybe not in this life, but after they have been resurrected to physical life, they will be killed by the sharp, two-edged sword from Christ's mouth, unless they repent from taking the sword. So Christ tells us not to resist the evil person and to turn the other cheek. What if our attempts to solve disputes peacefully don't work and the other person becomes violent? We already saw in Ephesians 5, verse 29, that it is our duty to nourish and cherish our bodies. But should we simply allow people to walk over us as long as they don't hurt us physically? No. Let's read about this in 2 Corinthians 11, the second book of Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 11:20. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. Today's New International Version translates this verse as follows: in fact, you even put up with any who enslave you, or exploit you, or take advantage of you, or put themselves forward, or slap you in the face. So Paul is criticizing the Corinthians for putting up with people slapping them in the face and with other injustices passively. They took no action to stop it. Turning the other cheek is not passive, but active. It is the first step of an attempt to reconcile with our neighbor. The next step is asking exactly what he has against us, and then we can either admit we were wrong and apologize, or we can explain our point of view in order to solve the conflict. turning the other cheek does not mean that you tolerate that a conflict or an injustice continues indefinitely, but rather it means taking the initiative to solve it in a peaceful manner. Does law of retaliation permit that we avenge ourselves? No, it doesn't. A well-known verse in Leviticus 19, let's read it again, Leviticus 19, verse 18. Leviticus 19, 18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And then let's also read Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. Deuteronomy 32, 35. I read it in today's New International Version. It is mine to avenge, I will repay. In due time their foot will slip, their day of disaster is near, and their doom rushes upon them. God forbids us to avenge ourselves, because he knows that this would lead to mutual vengeance from generation to generation. Now let's turn to Romans. Romans 13, chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So the government, the authority, the rulers are God's ministers who execute his vengeance. Notice that Paul said this while the Roman Empire ruled over much of Europe, North Africa, and the Middle East. They certainly didn't have higher moral standards or more respect for human rights than our Western governments and judges today. Yet God called those idolatrous authorities God's ministers. How much more should we not respect and submit to our governments? Paul even exhorts us to pray for all who are in authority. Let's read about that in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. Do we frequently criticize those in authority and hardly ever pray for them? Do we really think we are worse off than the Christians living in the Roman Empire in the first century? When was the last time we gave thanks for our government? Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. So, Christ is certainly not telling us here that we should simply allow people to steal from us. No, we must prevent the thief from stealing from us. Does this mean that Christ permits that we shoot the thief even before he breaks in? No. As we just saw, God doesn't allow that we avenge ourselves, and certainly not before the crime has even been committed. No, we should take the information about the exact time when the thief will break into our house to the police. Hopefully the information is precise and credible enough so that the police will believe it and send officers to your house in advance to arrest the thief as soon as he breaks into your house. Maybe the police doesn't believe you, and then I think you could still gather all your relatives and family members and leave all the lights burning into your house, so I don't think the thief would break in those circumstances. So, in conclusion, when someone slaps us in the face or humiliates us in any other way, we should not retaliate, but stay calm, control our emotions, look at the one who hit us and talk in a firm yet unthreatening way to him or her, trying to solve the conflict in a peaceful way. Thank you.